which is something that's very, very important to a lot of Maryland moms and Maryland dads out there. Just down the road from here, Montgomery County's enrollment has grown by about 15,000 students just since the year 2000. The county educates more than 17% of Maryland students, and yet it only receives about 11% of school construction funds. My question is, will you work to change the current funding mechanism for Maryland schools to steer more money to Montgomery County? And let's start with Delegate Mazur.
Thank you for the question. It's a really critical one. I got involved in this issue 3 years ago as Vice Chair of Education and Economic Development for our Appropriations Committee. I was touring schools in Baltimore City. I was in Hollabird Academy, and I was devastated by what I saw. Fountains that the kids can't drink out of because they're lead-piped. They're too cold in their rooms with coats taking their exams because the heat doesn't work. I've seen prison conditions better than these schools. Now, I could have come home to Montgomery County and said, that's Baltimore's problem. But I recognize that Baltimore's problem was the most acute. $3 billion problem of what is a $15 billion crisis for the entire state. We had to fix it in Baltimore first before we could fix it anywhere else. And I was really proud to be involved in getting that first round of funding put together. It's a model we can use to bring funding to Montgomery County, Baltimore County, and Prince George's County, which we fought to get done this legislative session. And as governor, I'll get it done. I have a plan in my jobs and economic development plan that has two more ideas on how we can get that money. You'll have to read about it on my website.
Who's up next on this?
It should be the Attorney General.
It's Brown, Lieutenant General. Okay. Lieutenant Governor, excuse me.
Me?
Yes.
Okay,
yes,
time. Look, over the last 7 years, we've built, according to Education Week magazine, some of the best schools in the nation. We rank number one. But I think everyone understands and believes, and I'm certainly committed to ensuring that every child, whether you're educated in Bethesda, Chevy Chase, or in Baltimore City, has access to a world-class education in a modern, technology-ready classroom. That's why over the last 8 years, we've increased investments in school construction at a high watermark of $400 million, an average of $340 million a year. That's not enough. I put forward a plan in December. So over the next 4 years, we will increase that average to $500 million a year. I'm committed to working with the local leadership in Montgomery County to do exactly what we did in Baltimore County. We authorized a $1.1 billion school construction program to get those children out of the second oldest set of schools in the state. We can do that. We have the resources in Maryland. It's not going to be easy. We have to set our priorities. In a Brown-Ullman administration, schools are top priority.
To the Attorney General.
I grew up in Montgomery County. I'm a proud graduate of the Chevy Chase Elementary School. My family lives in Montgomery County, so I actually know what Montgomery County is like. And it's not like what much of the state believes it to be like. We're a majority-minority county. We have 166 languages spoken in our schools. And to your question, we are woefully underfunded. Baltimore City needed new schools, and they got $1 billion toward that. But Montgomery County, Prince George's County, and Baltimore County deserve to have new schools, too. But not only that, the lieutenant governor has been in office for 8 years, in the seat of power, and stood by while Maryland has the number two minority achievement gap in the country, the second worst. And that's the moral stain of our state. So we need to address that. I was the first candidate to come out for expanding pre-K for all people in Maryland, particularly starting with people 300% above the poverty line and below. But we also have to make sure we have skilled teachers, like in every other profession, reward the people who are most esteemed, which is our teachers.
Time. Lieutenant Governor, take 30 seconds for rebuttal.
Thank you. 30 seconds. Maryland leads the nation when it comes to reducing the achievement gap by income, and we have work to do. Our students of color are making the greatest progress in fourth grade and eighth grade math and reading. We still have an achievement gap to close. That's why I have a plan. Doug, you talk about a moral stain in education and achievement gap. If we pass the Gansler corporate tax giveaway, that moral stain will become an indelible blemish as generations of students will not have access to early childhood education, which is proven to be one of the best ways to eliminate the achievement gap in
education. Attorney General, take 30 seconds to respond.
President Obama, Congressman Van Hollen, Congressman Hoyer are all for reducing the corporate tax. One of the reasons why we're losing so many of our companies to Virginia is because we have an 8.25% corporate tax and they have 6%. I was an economics major at Yale. I get that people operate on their best interests. If we reduce the corporate tax by 0.25% each year, more jobs will come, our tax base will be enhanced, and we'll be able to do things like fix the schools where we have this minority achievement gap. So, we do need to, and I agree with Heather Mazur, we need to close that corporate loophole for the big companies.
Let me go back to Chris.
Call this the legacy question. The current governor, Martin O'Malley, had a very progressive list of priorities and passed most of them, if not all of them, the DREAM Act, lowering and making in-state tuition for the children of illegal immigrants, same-sex marriage, abolishing the death penalty, tough gun control laws, and this session, his top priority, raising the minimum wage. So my question to each of you is, what's the next big idea you have? What would be your legacy if elected governor of Maryland? And we start with Delegate Mazur.
Actually, we're going to start with the Attorney General. We're watching this closely, so the Attorney General is here next.
Thanks for noticing. I was 5 years ahead of most people on the issue of marriage equality. I went down and testified on it before anybody else thought it was a good idea. They literally tried to impeach me in Annapolis. And, of course, my wife was hoping they would be successful so I'd get a real job. Here I am again as Attorney General running for yet a new job. I then wrote an opinion recognizing out-of-state same-sex marriages here in Maryland because I thought it was the right thing to do, and I didn't think people should be discriminated against. I then was the first person on the stage to come out for increasing the minimum wage. It's just not fair. If you're making $7.25 an hour, working 40 hours a week, and you're still under the federal poverty line, that's just not right. So I think the next thing we need to do is bring jobs back to Maryland. We cannot sustain this. There's too many poor people. When you have 46% of the people in Baltimore, grown men, out of work, that's wrong. And the second is dealing with reentry, taking prisoners from behind bars and making them taxpaying citizens.
Delegate Mazur.
Thank you. I have a plan to make sure that we don't just have a minimum wage in this state, we have a living wage. Because no one should be working 40 hours a week and still be living in poverty. I have a plan to make sure that we address that achievement gap that we discussed earlier. It still matters in Maryland what your socioeconomic status is and what your race is to determine whether or not you're going to be successful in school. And we know it doesn't have to be that way. When we invest in early childhood initiatives from birth to age 5, we eliminate that disparity and give every child a chance to enter school ready to learn at the same pace. My plan to address this is comprehensive. It's a universal pre-K plan, not just for 4-year-olds, not just for 4-year-olds from some low-income families, all of our 4-year-olds, and we'll cover a half day for 3-year-olds as well. And we'll also provide child care subsidies, not just for low-income families who have a long waiting list to get access to care, but for middle-class families as well, because our children need access to quality, affordable, nurturing educational environment before they get into pre-K.
Lieutenant Governor.
Thank you, Chris. We live in a much more just society today than we did 8 years ago, passed marriage equality and the DREAM Act. We passed some of the most stringent gun safety measures in the wake of Newtown, Connecticut, and we repealed the death penalty. I believe that the greatest challenge that we face as a state and as a nation is to address the persistent, debilitating gaps, disparities, and inequities that exist in our economy, in our society, in our community, and yes, in our classrooms. And that's why I've got a plan to create more jobs in Maryland, but not only create more jobs by investments in infrastructure and renewable energy, but to educate and train all of Maryland's workforce so they can compete successfully for that. At the end of my 4-year term, I hope that we can look back in Maryland and say, we have career technology education in every high school or every county so that we're not only preparing students who want to go to college, but those who don't so that they are ready to enter the workforce and support their
final
families.
Final question here from Chris.
I want to talk a little bit about something that you all have brought up. Governor O'Malley has signed off on about 40 new taxes since he took office. And yet the number of Maryland families who need government help to make ends meet has reached record levels. And this is a very simple question. Would you raise taxes to cover the cost of continuing this level of government assistance? And I believe we go to the Lieutenant Governor first.
Thank you. Look, I think the good news is I don't see the need in the foreseeable future to have to raise taxes in Maryland. We've got the resources and the revenues to take on the tough challenges ahead, to fully fund education, to continue to drive down crime in neighborhoods throughout the state. I do believe that we ought to engage, as I said earlier, in comprehensive tax reform. Look, Maryland and America still has a level of poverty that is higher than it was when Dr. King was waging the war against poverty in the 1960s with Lyndon Johnson, President Johnson. That's why we've invested in Medicaid. That's why we've taken on a strategic goal to end childhood hunger. That's why we've expanded affordable housing, and I've got a plan to deliver even more affordable housing. Yeah, there are more demands, but Maryland's a great state, and Maryland can be better for more Marylanders if we apply our resources effective, wisely, in a socially prudent and fiscally responsible way.
Attorney General.
We've raised 40 straight taxes. People can't take it anymore. There's been a recent poll by Gallup that says 47% of Marylanders want to leave the state because of the tax burden and the economic hardship that we face. We need to actually bring jobs back. We need to focus on the fact that we are the only state in the country that has NIH and Johns Hopkins, number one hospital in the country, as well as the University of Maryland Medical System. We need to focus on the fact that we have the Cyber Command Center and the NSA here, and we have the smartest people in the country in terms of advanced degrees, yet we don't leverage that. And we need to bring manufacturing back to Maryland, and we need to make sure that Prince George's County has economic development around its transit-oriented development, because if we don't have jobs, we're going to continue to have poor people. There's nowhere to go. And so one of the things that we want to do is when you're 16 years old, there's some people that want to get a job. They don't want to stay in school until they're 18 and go the traditional path. So they'll have an ability to do a career and vocational and career apprenticeship where they can go to, in the afternoon, start to get certified. So when they're 18, they can get a job.
Delegate Mazur.
Being governor is about setting priorities and building budgets around it. It's about revenues in and expenditures out. By decriminalizing marijuana, we've created another $280 million of savings in our budget. By legalizing and taxing it, we create another $160 million. When we close the corporate tax loophole that the handful of companies are abusing right now, $200 million extra in our state. Bring back the millionaire's tax, another $112 million. And what do you get for that? A universal pre-K program, tax cuts for small businesses, and 90% of all Maryland families get middle-class tax relief they have been begging for in this state. These are my priorities, and this is exactly how I will pay for them as your governor.
All right, to closing statements, Delegate Mazur, you're going to begin. You each have a minute. Please stick to time. We're tight on it. Go ahead. Okay.
I see it in living rooms and community centers all across this state. Voters want candidates who remain positive, who are focused on the policy and not platitudes, who remember that we're always going to be stronger when we put our common good ahead of the priorities of special interests and people who have extra access in Annapolis. I'm a governor that wants to make sure Maryland works for all of our citizens. I will invest in infrastructure needs for our state, make sure that our schools are great in every corner, reduce crime in our neighborhoods, and turn our minimum wage into a living wage. And for the women watching tonight, I know that for too long, the inequalities in our schools, in our pay, and in our economy have existed for too long. It doesn't have to be this way. I know what it takes to make Maryland work and be fair for all of Marylanders. And as your governor, I will get it done.
Lieutenant Governor, please.
Thank you, David. Over the last 8 years, we, and I say we collectively, have made tremendous progress as a state. We have built the best in the nation public schools, but we know that not every child's educated in a blue ribbon school today, so our work continues. We've not only driven crime down to the lowest levels we've seen in three decades, but we've reduced recidivism. And our inmate population is smaller today than it was 6 years ago. We're one of only a handful of states that weathered the Great Recession with a AAA bond rating. We recovered jobs at a rate faster than every state in the Mid-Atlantic, with an unemployment rate 1% below the national average. But we know that there continue to be Marylanders who are unemployed and underemployed. That's why I've got a plan, and I ask you to go to anthonybrown.com, because in this hour we didn't discuss all of it. I've got a 5-point plan to create jobs. I've got a plan to deliver universal pre-K to every Maryland 4-year-old, greater investments in career technology education, in school construction. But I need you. I need you to help me and Ken Ullman build a better Maryland for more Marylanders.
The Attorney General, closing thought.
You've heard a lot of back and forth this evening, and I want to end by sharing what motivates me, because during a political campaign, that does and can get distorted. Like you, my family motivates and defines me. Laura and I have been married for 22 years. We're profoundly proud of our children. We're incredibly devoted and involved parents, and I want them to be proud of our public service. And many families out there, you also motivate me, all the families I see around the state of Maryland, because we have taken on judges because of that. I have mentored inner-city kids that the system has left behind. I've taken on polluters, cyberbullying, internet fraud, and internet crime. And when I'm governor, we will deliver the promise of health care reform, because health care is a right. So I just want to leave you with one thought, if there's one thought you can be left with, which is this. I will always stand up against the special interests, because your fight is my fight.
And we will leave it there. Thank you all very much. Thank you to our partners, University of Maryland, NBC4.